The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everyone, welcome inside our Bears Talk podcast. We continue rolling on from training camp. JJ Stankovitz of CSNChicago.com and Chris Bowden, as we are now five practices into training camp. We have this podcast right as the Bears really take their first break for a day on Tuesday before getting back at it on Wednesday here at Olivet Nazarene, where we are recording this podcast in order to get out of the sun, just right under a tree, laying in the grass. It takes JJ back to his college days in Columbia, Missouri. I'm sure it doesn't quite for me at Columbia College, unless I went across the street to Grand Park or something during a break. But
much of a quad there.
Yeah, let's. It's got the downtown, but it doesn't have the quad, and this brings back memories for JJ when he would do all his studying in the grass, not on the grass.
Right? Actually, right. I would do a lot of my studying on the columns. If you've ever been to Mizzou, there.
Isn't that painful?
It was comfortable. It was cool out, cool on those. That'd be a nice spot to do these from. But we're not close to the University of Missouri right now.
Yeah, and we're not wearing tie-dye t-shirts or anything like that.
I was never that guy.
No, we're all too young for that. Yeah, let's talk football though, and get to it right away. And obviously the main theme throughout this training camp and throughout the preseason, whether it should be or not, it will be the quarterback competition, even though the Bears have given that answer so far as to what it is going to be. They reiterated that on the first day of camp as the players arrived. It's Glennon 1, Sanchez 2, Trubisky 3. And I don't know, from your standpoint, JJ, I know you've had a little bit of a fragmentation to how frequently you've been here, but to the naked eye, unless you're switching jerseys and chop 6 inches off of Mike Glennon, I'm not totally sure if you can differentiate between these two guys so much for the first five practices.
Yeah, I haven't been here for a padded practice yet. I was at a wedding over the weekend when they had the padded practices on Saturday and Sunday. But from what I've seen, Trubisky's made some really good plays outside the pocket. We saw it today on Monday where he rolled to his right, kept his eyes downfield, found Ben Broniker with a real nice strike. But Mike Glennon's played pretty clean. He looks like a guy who's comfortable behind the Bears' offensive line, which is something that I asked Dave Ragone about today. When they were scouting him, Tampa's offensive lines were pretty bad. And what Ragone said, less about Glennon's ability or inability to pass with a bad offensive line. He said what impressed him most about Glennon in Tampa was that he kept getting up. He kept getting hit and he kept getting up. Hopefully for the Bears this year, Glennon doesn't have to get up as much as he did in Tampa. And I think that'll, if you give Glennon a good pocket to throw in and some receivers who can create some open space like a Cameron Meredith, hopefully like a Kevin White, he does seem like a guy who's going to be able to get his receivers the ball. Mm-hmm. That whether or not we can do it with pads, I still have yet to see. When we get into game action in the preseason, that'll be another hurdle. And then once we get into an actual regular season game in September, that's the next one. Just because for as much scouting as the Bears did of Mike Glennon, he still has only thrown 11 passes since the end of the 2015 season. There is still a bit of a learning curve for him.
And, what I was referencing, too, is that everyone seems to be across the board between Sanchez, Glennon, Trubisky. Mm-hmm. They all seem to have kind of the same amount of flash plays, the same amount of, mistakes or being victimized by drops. And one thing is clear, though, it seems like Glennon is the take charge guy. If Sanchez had that opportunity, he would certainly be that, but that's not the role he's playing. And with Mitchell Trubisky, with everyone going up in arms over the fumbled snaps, I think that's going a little bit too far. And Dave Ragone mentioned that. We're going to play a snippet of Dave Ragone here in just a moment from Monday when he had a chance to meet the media. But when you see the flash plays from Trubisky, the athleticism as well, there are other plays where you see the mistakes, in decision-making, not just the physical ones that he particularly suffered on Saturday with some of those snaps.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for Trubisky will be his ability to work on his pre-snap reads and work on his pre-snap judgment, because that's where the biggest transition for him is going to come. It's not taking a snap from under center. Like you said, Chris, I think maybe a little bit too big of a deal has been made out of that, but it will be his ability to read defenses, to read complex NFL defenses, to go through his sort of mental checklist before the snap, and then either make an adjustment or gain an advantage by seeing what's out there. That's something that Ragone's worked on him with continuously. He's giving him a mental checklist to go through. The VR stuff that I know we're going to talk about here in a bit, that also may be actually a pretty big help to Mitch Trubisky, given that he is still getting third-team reps, basically, at this point.
All right, let's take a quick listen to what the quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, had to say in evaluating particularly Glennon and Trubisky. He did talk about Sanchez. We won't play that for you, because what we're hearing him say about Sanchez is what everybody else is saying about how great a guy he is in the room and a guy to lean on. But here's Dave Ragone, a little bit of Q&A with him and the media following Monday's practice here in Bourbonnais.
Where do you think he is right now? What's been the biggest challenge so far, and maybe the biggest surprise that you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think more than anything else, just in terms of all of them, they've come in with a great professional attitude from the veteran of Mark Sanchez of 10 years all the way down to Mitchell. And it's one of those things, I think it's carried over from the spring. The first 4 or 5 days of practice, what these guys have shown is every day they're in the meetings early. They stay when they have to late, and again, the practice field locked in, and they're competing against themselves and each other. And right now, that's how we're measuring them, how they're competing against each other and themselves.
Where do you see Glennon? As a lot of guys have talked about how concise he is, the command he has with this huddle, what a leader he's already been so far.
Yeah, so we expect that from all the quarterbacks, to go in there and have conviction and command in the huddle. Coach Loggins, the way he lays out the practice scripts and the game plans in terms of the practice is something that he wants from the quarterbacks, and I echo that obviously. And Mike, that's something he takes personal pride in, and we talk about all the quarterbacks having that kind of pride going in the huddle.
After all the background and research you did on Trubisky entering the draft, now that you've had him and seen him, what are you most impressed with?
Well, what he's come in with is the right attitude. Knew about his background just because of where he grew up, not too far away from myself, and knew a lot of people who knew him. And he's come in with the mindset of every day I'm trying to improve and get better. And it's one of those where you see him come out, and in the meetings he's asking the right questions. On the practice field, he's trying to stay locked in, especially when he's not in, which is tough when you come from being a starter in college and now you have to wait again. But he's done a great job of trying to take the mental reps, and that's what we ask of all the guys who aren't in.
I know you guys did a lot of work on Glennon before you signed him, watched the tape, talked to people around the league. What have you learned about him since you had him that you didn't know, didn't know what you were getting exactly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anything that stands out. Like you said before, there was homework done. It's a small league. And in terms of what he's brought to the table is what's been said of him. He's a professional. It means a lot to him, just like it does for those other three quarterbacks in the room. And he's the one who's the catalyst, and those guys follow with him, and they're pushing him. And he wants to compete, and he wants to be pushed in the meeting rooms and in the field. And hopefully every day we come out there with that mindset and try to do that.
A lot's been made about Trubisky's, difficulty with snaps and stuff. Do you just say, relax, everybody, this is something new to him, it's just part of the process and development?
Yeah, I mean, that was, a pad day one deal. What we do is it's something that we drill and work on. And it's something that obviously you don't want to make too big of a deal about, because there's a lot of other things in his mind right now. And he's done a great job, he and the centers, of taking extra snaps and going through that process and making it a non-issue.
And from there, the quarterback's coach was asked a couple of times, including yourself, JJ, about the use of virtual reality. Rich Campbell, the Tribune, had a really nice piece on how they're utilizing that and how they go about it over the weekend in the Tribune. But this is another tool they can use. I know sometimes on 7-on-7 over the weekend, they would split the field in half and have, Trubisky Glennon on one half of the field, or Trubisky Sanchez on one half of the field, and then Glennon Sanchez on one half, and then Trubisky getting the bulk on the other in order to get more snaps. But this is another classroom scene, and it's really interesting how Ragone can see the exact same thing on this VR when they're running it as the quarterback wearing it too.
It's really interesting how they've incorporated this, and you couldn't ask for a better time when you have essentially a third string quarterback who needs to be developed. And, you know, we talked about the pre-snap reads beforehand. That's been the biggest thing with VR, is that Mitch Trubisky can get a look of exactly what Mike Glennon or Mark Sanchez was looking at before the snap. Dave Ragone is also looking at the same screen, and Dave Ragone can see where Mitch Trubisky's eyes go in the VR, which is really interesting. So if Ragone on the pre-snap read wants Trubisky looking to his right to identify where the rush linebacker is, or if it, you know, the rush linebacker is going to drop into coverage, he can then coach Trubisky up that way. Or if he sees that Trubisky is looking in the right direction, he can say, okay, Mitch, you did the right thing on this play by trying to identify where this certain player was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said before, it just seems like the perfect time to use this technology, because otherwise you can't get these reps. And it's also difficult to coach where a quarterback's eyes are going. Or not, I shouldn't say difficult. It's a lot easier to coach where a quarterback's eyes are going and to teach a quarterback how to or where to put his eyes before a snap when you are dealing with this VR headset where you can see exactly where his eyes are going instead of sort of seeing how the play develops and being like, hey, Mitch, should your eyes go here?
Hey, man, it's actually like they're in each other's heads, man. I thought I'd say that while we're out here on the grass in the old college days. Before we take a break here, one other thing is, as we continue with the offense, Tariq Cohen's been fun to watch.
Chicken salad.
I'm anxious to see what he looks like in games, because, you know, they're not allowed to go full force hitting, even though if they might be full pads for a couple of the practices so far. From a wide receiver standpoint, for the most part over the first 5 days, Cam Meredith has done a great job catching everything. They're looking for him to take that leap. Kevin White has looked strong and confident in what he's doing physically out there. And until today, when there was a ball in his area that he couldn't quite latch onto, Victor Cruz has been catching just about everything, and that's been pretty impressive. Had a chance to talk to Zach Azani, the wide receivers coach. He was made available, as well as all the offensive assistants were on Monday. And he talks about coaching these guys up hard, even though there's a lot of veterans in this group. They appreciate the opportunity to, you know, have a coach call them out, tell them exactly what they're doing wrong as they go over film, and coaching them up hard, that it shouldn't be a I'm too cool for school type situation, even if they've been in the league a few years, and that Victor Cruz was a little bit surprised by it, but nevertheless wasn't resistant to it. And, you know, also putting those little carrots out in front of these guys. Talking about one of the corny things he does in the wide receiver room is have a soldier every day out of his wide receivers group, and rewarding that particular player with a little plastic toy soldier, which he says wasn't from his kids' collection. He just goes on Amazon and gets 100 for however many bucks right there.
I think an interesting point here about Victor Cruz maybe being surprised about this is that Victor Cruz and Kendall Wright are here on prove-it contracts. Marcus Wheaton, obviously before the appendectomy, was here on a two-year contract, still sort of in that prove-it area. Kevin White is very much in a prove-it realm in terms of his development. Cameron Meredith is still, you know, is only in his third year in the league, really his second full year in the league. There's a lot of guys who are who aren't established in that room, who have had success before, but now maybe are more receptive to that hard coaching just given where they are in their careers.
And one of the things Azani said, too, is that even though I think up until Monday, we didn't see Kendall Wright flash that much. He made a couple, two, three catches that were pretty impressive out here today. Azani so far is loving what Kendall Wright is doing. Here's a guy who comes in with a little bit of a reputation as being difficult within the room or within the offense if things aren't going his way, whether that's justified or not. But so far, Azani says Kendall Wright's really taken a huge step forward, and he's loved what he's doing so far. And same for Kevin White. Being on Kevin White to, you know, block out the noise, he admitted that White's a guy who kind of, you know, will read a newspaper or a story online or hear what's being said about him. It's all about blocking that out because it might be preventing him from keeping his confidence up and taking those strides. So it was really interesting to hear about. We'll write about that on csnchicago.com. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the unfortunate injury situation so far. Two surgeries in the first 5 days is not a good thing. And a couple of other aches and pains that the Bears are dealing with. Again, we thank you for joining us, and we encourage you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Audioboom, and Stitcher. or you can get all our podcasts by logging on to csnchicago.com/podcast. Get your Cubs, Sox, Bears Bowl with Black Box Fixes and a couple of others thrown in as well. We'll be back from Bourbon after this timeout.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the RotoWorld Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draft guide. That's rotoworld.com/draft guide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
Welcome back to our Bears Talk podcast. JJ Stankovitz, Chris Bowden from Bourbonnais, recording on Monday as the Bears hit their first break of training camp. They're off on Tuesday before getting back at it on Wednesday down here at Olivet Nazarene. Obviously, the last 2 years, a huge storyline with this team has been injuries, and unfortunately, a couple of key names that you're hoping to see contributions from in this 2017 season have had setbacks already. Not the way the Bears really want to get this thing started. Of course, on the first day, Pernell McPhee could not pass his physical. It turns out he has an arthroscope in his right knee, which is not the one that he was recovering from a year ago. And then the news about Marcus Wheaton waking up in the middle of the night on Saturday night into early Sunday morning, not feeling well. They take him into the doctor, the hospital, and all of a sudden he has himself an appendectomy. And this, I think, is particularly unfortunate. Not that the McPhee isn't, because you'd love to see what he can be consistently opposite Leonard Floyd. But Wheaton is a guy coming off the shoulder surgery. Here's a guy who is probably the fastest of all the wide receivers. You'd love to see that particular element in this offense. And now he has a setback again. It just, you know, even though it didn't rupture, even though John Fox said it was a scope, so, you know, if you're lucky, knock on wood, you may be looking at a Corey Crawford 3-week recovery rather than something bigger than that, but this is football and not a goaltender in hockey. Nevertheless, this hurts timing and familiarity with all these guys. Yeah. You know, he's trying to get in sync with ahead of September 10th.
It's so unfortunate because it's not a football injury. It's just a freak occurrence that happens to some people that you literally can't plan for. You can't really prevent it, as far as I know, and I'm not a doctor. I don't know if you can actually prevent it. Yeah, breaking news. I'm not a doctor.
DRJJ.
Yeah, but MD. it just DDS. It stinks that, you know, this kind of thing happens. You know, Corey Crawford's one. I remember it was Adam Dunn, his first year with the White Sox. Mm-hmm. He started off pretty well
after opening day.
Yeah,
or something?
He started off real well. Had the appendectomy and then rushed back a little bit too soon, and obviously that's baseball. We're not talking about a contact sport here, but you know, it's something that you wonder when he will be able to come back, and that's not something you can really rush when you're getting blows to the stomach all the time.
A couple other things we have to keep our eye on. Another disappointment is Jeremy Langford rolled an ankle, the one that was surgically repaired in the offseason during a walkthrough on Thursday. We haven't seen him back out here yet. The guard situation, something to keep an eye on. Josh Sitton still hasn't reported as of Monday night after his wife gave birth. Kyle Long's out there doing some things. You can still see a little bit of hitch in his giddy-up. So that guard situation's up in the air. And on top of that, Eric Kush tweaked a hamstring a little bit a couple of days ago. So, you know, now we're looking down on our rosters to see who's on the guard front right now. And then on the defensive side, Marcus Cooper, the cornerback they signed to a 3-year deal, he also is kind of working himself through a hamstring. But the other interesting thing on that is that with the snaps he is sitting out, Kyle Fuller is getting an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Seems to be getting the bulk of the snaps opposite Prince Amukamara. And there's no question, the Bears, Kyle Fuller himself, has to know who he is, what they have moving forward here, whether he can be a legitimate part of this team. Whether it's a third cornerback working himself into a starting role, perhaps, if the injury bug bites, or whether they're just going to dangle him and try and, you know, perhaps get a future draft pick out of him.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Kyle Fuller today out there, and Chris, you made a note of it during practice. You know, that he was out there with Prince Amukamara. He's a real interesting guy going into this training camp, just given how much he had to prove. Not necessarily only for the Bears, but for his NFL future. I mean, if he were to get cut at the end of this camp, there are going to be so many other cornerbacks who will be cut in the, you know, max 47-man roster cut down that could happen, you know, probably somewhere in the, still in the 20-30 range for that cut down, it's going to be flooded with cornerbacks. And, you know, it, you wonder if this is his last chance to really prove himself in the NFL. And, you know, he's got to take advantage of the opportunities he gets, whether it's because Marcus Cooper is out or whether he's getting a second or third team rep here and there.
And the other thing about the McPhee situation is you almost can't afford to have another one of those guys go down here because, yeah, McPhee's already out for who knows how long. And, by the way, Leonard Floyd's looking great so far with his explosion off the edge and, you know, really noticeable out there. But if something should happen to two other guys coming off of surgeries and Lamar Houston and Willie Young, then you start looking at a pretty thin situation and, you know, Dan Scuda coming off a hip injury as well. Then you're really concerned about a position you thought was going to be a strength coming.
Yeah, Chris, you wrote about it over the weekend about Lamar Houston and how, you know, with Pernell McPhee being up in the air, the Bears really need Lamar Houston to be healthy, which outside of that 8-sack year he had a couple years ago has been sort of a question mark for him. You know, the best case, obviously, is that McPhee is able to come back and be ready for week one, or if not week one, sometime, you know, in the middle of the season, just to give, you know, add that depth to that situation. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. If we're talking about a Dan Scuda, another guy who's had some injury issues, that could go from, you know, a good position of depth to one that's in. I want to make a point about Josh Sitton, too. Mm-hmm. You know.
By the way, we're at the top of the hour, everybody, here on our Bears Talk.
Yeah. you know, and he should be given as long as he needs for maternity leave. This isn't an issue of, you know, oh, well, he didn't have the baby and all that. You know, this is something where you should be able to take as long as you want for this. Also, he's a 9-year veteran. How important are these first couple of practices compared to being there for his wife and for his newborn? If that does become a quote-unquote issue, that's not one I really want to entertain.
He knows the gig. He knows the gig by this time, being in the league for so long, although this would be his first Bears training camp. All right, before we run out of time, let's go off the grid a little bit. JJ, I'm going to let you lead off because I'm going to circle back to something kind of football related here at Bears camp. But anything entertainment-wise, anything you've seen that particularly wanted to make note of here before we wrap things up?
All right, so you heard those bells behind us. It's Monday at 4 o'clock as we're recording this. I've yet to watch Game of Thrones from last night. It's taken so much self-control to not do that. I've been waiting for my fiance to come back from the wedding we were at last weekend to watch it. And I mean, to not find a spoiler for it, to not accidentally pop on our Nerds and Sports podcast and start listening to their recap of it. It's been really, really difficult. Maybe having to almost set up a filter for Game of Thrones on my phone. I was trying to stay off Twitter last night just to make sure about that. So that's my off-the-grid point, how difficult it is to avoid a Game of Thrones spoiler.
Discipline.
Yes.
Keep your discipline there.
Trust me.
Nothing quite as heavy as that here. But I want to give a shout-out to some of our colleagues here who, you know, there are some restrictions with what we deal with and what we can report here through the Bears and through the NFL. First and foremost, leading to that point, is our colleague Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, as he tries to describe certain things in a vague enough way without taking snapshots with his phone either. He will quickly draw up something that he saw on his notepad, on his media notepad, take a picture of it, a Bears player doing something, and then take a picture of it and tweet it out, kind of explaining without too much detail what exactly that is. So props on the artwork. I'm not sure if he'll ever be a courtroom artist or anything like that, but Patrick Finley keeping it light.
It's abstract. It's abstract art that Pat's drawing there. You know, you could put that up in an art museum and say, you know, it's abstract.
Picasso.
Look into the meaning of this, and it would fly.
And finally, the second one I want to shout out to is our buddy Kevin Fishbane with PFW. And as he looks through his tweet archives, he mentions 3 and 4 years ago some of the Bears' names that he was interviewing on this exact date 3 and 4 years ago. And some of the names he comes up with are doozies, as I'm sure they will be if he's on the beat 3 or 4 years from now with who he's speaking with on this exact date. But you're getting Adrian Wilson's and Brandon Harden's and Eric Weems's and Brian De La Puente's And just seeing those names brings a smile to the face.
I'm going back through my own personal one, and I'm thinking, you know, 3 years ago, all I could write about was Everett Golson. So that's
there's a lot of Manti Te'o in there, too.
No, not at that point. That's about 5 years ago or 4 years ago. That was too much. But, yeah, I'm like, man, 3 years ago, I was writing about Everett Golson. Oh, boy.
Those were the days. Those were the days, my friends. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. Bears back at practice on Wednesday. They'll stay down here at Olivet Nazarene Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then it's the Meyer Family Fest, 3 o'clock. You need tickets for that at Soldier Field. Hopefully the Bears get through that practice healthier than they did a year ago. I believe then they're back here after a day off on Sunday, be back here Monday, Tuesday before the all-important, quote-unquote, first preseason game at Soldier Field a week from Thursday against the Denver Broncos. You can follow all our coverage on csnchicago.com. JJ is at JJ Stankovitz, that's JJ Stankevitz on
Great
Twitter.
Job.
Thank you. And let's see if I can get mine right. At CSN Boden, Boden. And again, subscribe, if you will, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Audio Boom, and Stitcher, or you can find all our podcasts on csnchicago.com/podcast. We'll hear from the coordinators for the first time on Friday, so look for that after the two practices we have to cover prior to that. Again, hope you're having yourself a great week. Glad to visit with you, and we'll come at you again next week, probably right before the Bears get themselves ready to face the Broncos in that first preseason game. For JJ Stankovitz, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week.